You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Today is November 28th, 2023, and I am MP Holmes. The Kitchener Centre by-election is this week, November 30th, and the outcome is still far from clear. In July, the former MPP, Laurimé Lindo, resigned the seat that she had held for the past 5 years for the NDP, triggering the by-election. The NDP candidate is Debbie Chapman, who has served on Kitchener City Council for almost 5 years as a councillor for Ward 9, and she teaches political science at Wilfrid Laurier University. The Liberal Party candidate is Kelly Stice, who has worked in municipal government for over 2 years. She has volunteered in different capacities to help social inclusion, including as a member of the Mayor's Task Force for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Aisling Clancy is running for the Green Party of Ontario. Clancy is currently the Ward 10 councillor for the City of Kitchener, and is also the deputy leader for the Ontario Greens. Previously, Clancy worked as a social worker for the Waterloo Catholic District School Board. Progressive Conservative candidate Rob Elliott has experience in the transportation and government sectors and is a former PC Party vice president and regional organizer. Mr. Elliott does not live in Kitchener. He lives in Keswick, which is north of Toronto. We spoke to University of Waterloo political science professor emeritus Robert J. Williams. During his 35-year career at University of Waterloo, Professor Williams taught courses on provincial, Ontario, and municipal government and politics. From 1994 until 2003, he was the academic director of the Ontario Legislature Internship Program at Queen's Park. And he has conducted or advised on ward boundary and electoral system reviews in more than 25 Ontario municipalities and testified as an expert witness before the Ontario Municipal Board in several cases involving electoral arrangements. Dr. Williams has also served as president of Municipal Cultural Planning Incorporated, a not-for-profit organization created in late 2009 to advance the practice of municipal cultural planning in communities across Ontario.
The particular seat in question has not been, shall we say, typical, if I can put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a series of Liberal incumbents over the last number of years when the Liberals were in office, but then Laurimé Lindo changed that around and brought that NDP perspective. You know, whether that's enough to carry on through the next in this by-election is hard to tell, because the other wrinkle in here, and it gets well away from, maybe not well away, but somewhat away from local and provincial matters, is the impact of Mike Morris winning the seat federally for the Greens.
Mm-hmm.
He had certain advantages, if I can call it that, in the last general election related to the collapse of the Liberal campaign because of their issues around their candidate and various things. And he'd been on the scene for a while. But whether Aislinn Clancy can build on that provincially is another wrinkle. And, of course, Mike Schreiner is not that far away, so could be helpful. So where I'm going with all of that is that I don't necessarily expect it's going to be a traditional, if I can call it that, by-election.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, where the Liberals were winning, say, some of those seats up in Ottawa and a couple other cases. It struck me that those had an awful lot to do with the provincial situation. And on that count, I can't see Rob Elliott doing anything at all because... certainly there would never, I'd be highly surprised if the Conservatives gained any traction given their provincial track record. But where those votes might go is whether the NDP success in the last couple of elections can be translated to Debbie Chapman because of her local experience, or whether they would go to Aislinn Clancy because of the Green impact are very hard to tell. At the moment, I don't see the Liberals making much headway in this particular context, even though they have held the seat.
We asked Professor Williams if the fact that Rob Elliott does not live in the constituency is important.
I think it's highly informative. And one of my colleagues was quoted in a story the other day, and I would have to echo it. They couldn't find anybody to run. The fact that there was no one in this region who was a member of that party who was willing to stand up and run even as sometimes, I know it sounds a bit graphic, but referred to often as a sacrificial lamb. You put your name up just because the party needs to have someone in the election, and nobody was even willing to do that, which tells me that they expect to be completely drubbed. The conservatives would have a disgracefully low support. I think that may be what they're anticipating, and why would anyone willingly put their name on a ballot to have this ridiculously low level of support? So they had to find somebody, and he was the best they could do.
While the PC party casts a long shadow on this by-election, both the NDP and the Greens' broader party may also influence voters. The Liberals are currently without a leader and will be holding a leadership convention on December 2nd. Here, Professor Williams talks about these wider influences and their possible impact in the Kitchener by-election.
The Greens have got an MP who has some profile. The provincial leader's not far away. And that could have a bearing on things that the party is broadly known for. When you get into the NDP, it gets a little trickier. And of course, they've had this local controversy, I guess, around their association mm-hmm. with the leader. That whole situation is completely confusing to me in terms of what a party should be saying or doing in Canada related to that.
Professor Williams mentioned the Sarah Jama controversy, which happened when Sarah Jama, a NDP MPP from Hamilton, expressed sympathy for the current situation in Palestine. Merritt Stiles, the leader of the NDP, kicked Jama out of the NDP caucus, saying Jama had broken the trust of her colleagues. Then the Kitchener Centre NDP riding issued a statement alleging Stiles was out of touch with 1 million Muslims in Ontario. The journalist Sabrina Nanji of the Queen's Park Observer interviewed Chapman about the situation. Chapman said that she had no knowledge of the letter and was not involved in its publication. In fact, she said the letter blindsided her. Chapman noted she stands by Stiles. The last provincial election was held in 2022, and of the 124 seats in Queen's Park, the PCs have 80 seats, the NDP have 28, the Liberals have 9, and the Greens have 1. So unless Rob Elliott is elected, the MPP will be in the minority. We asked Professor Williams, is the winner of this election going to be able to actually do anything?
That's a fair question. In the sense of explaining, I mean, it's an indirect explaining to voters, you're not determining who's going to become the premier, but you're choosing someone who's going to participate in an ongoing process, I'll call it. It's a fuzzy word, but their role is not to be the decision maker. Their role is to contribute as a member of a party to deliberations in the House or in committee toward where government might go. And of course, as we've suggested earlier, if it's not going to be Rob Elliott, they're not going to be anybody who's going to have a voice, have the ear of government. So right. What can you actually do?
Right. This is one in a series of shows about the Kitchener Centre by-election, where we put questions that are important to our community to the candidates. For CKMS News and the Local Journalism Initiative, I am MP Holmes. Thanks for listening.